DeJuan Harris, the Columbia native. He's been held at 2 points here today, but doing a good job as the facilitator. Gets it across midcourt. 4 minutes to play in the half. Hooks a pass behind his head. Another big-time slammer for K.J. Adams.
And that was a call from the voice of the Jayhawks, Brian Haney, as KU destroys, demolishes, dismantles Missouri in Columbia for the first time they had been in Columbia since, I think it was 2012. 95-67, the final. And, Brian, you know, there's nothing better for KU fans, is there? Well, maybe there is. Winning a national championship's not bad. But beating Missouri on their court like that had to be very, 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 very sweet.
Yeah, it certainly was. It was fantastic to watch our guys shut up the crowd that was, you know, relentless in their taunting. And some of their jeers were obviously more than PG-13 rated. So it was good to see the way our guys thrived off the energy, though. And you know, all profanity aside, that the crowd was terrific in terms of the noise level and the engagement, but I watched our players sizing them up in the pregame, and then when we got off to the hot start, if you looked at the body language and the faces of guys like Kevin McCullough and Jalen Wilson, they were loving it, and they were laughing and kind of cackling, running down the floor, really embracing the chance to silence a crowd like that in our first row environment of the season, and probably the toughest road environment we'll go to all season. So, and I know that includes Kentucky and K-State and places like that. I mean, they were out for blood that day, the Missouri fans were, and Kansas threw it right back in their faces. So that was great to see. And obviously, when you see guys like K.J. Adams have a career day and Kevin McCullough his best day in a Jayhawk uniform, there was a lot of attaboys to go around and a total team effort and total domination, as you said.
Yeah, it was. I mean, KU got everything they wanted offensively. Full court pressure didn't faze KU with the ball handling guards that they have, and they got about anything they wanted. Grady Dick was hot early, and obviously that helped them get out to the big lead. It was pretty much easy the rest of the way for the Jayhawks. I want to talk. You know, KJ Adams obviously had a big game, and you referred to him, and that's important. That KU can get some points from their five man, and he is so athletic, and he's fun to watch, but. I want to pinpoint Kevin McCullough for a moment. Every time I watch him, I sit there and I go, this guy's a glue guy. This guy does everything that is asked of him, and he's going to have to do even more offensively for this team than maybe in the past at Texas Tech. And everything that he does, I see his hustle. I see the little things that he does on the court. I see his body language when he's not on the court. And, yeah, he's gotten foul trouble a couple times. Both times I saw were questionable. But I love the makeup of Kevin McCullough and what an addition he is to this team that needed this type of addition when you lose the talent you lost last year to the NBA.
Yeah, he's been tremendous and doing all the things that he was brought in here to do. He's one of those guys so defensively assignment sound, has great anticipation, jumping in passing lanes. Bill Self has said he has some of the quickest hands he's ever coached. And so he's doing all those things. And then, as you alluded to, it's not that coming to Kansas means you get more shots, but he knew if he came to Kansas, he would get the coaching that would help him to expand his offensive game. And yes, there is a need for him to be, you know, if not a secondary scorer, he's certainly, you know, kind of a third scoring option behind Jalen and Grady. And so he's absolutely stepped forward in certain games. I think back to the way he performed versus Wisconsin, having a season high at the time, 18, and we don't get to overtime for the Bobby Pettiford game winner if he doesn't hit a game saver with 12 seconds to go. And then, of course, 21 points at Mizzou, where he was doing it at all three levels offensively. So I was just super impressed, and I think that, you know, he's played in tough environments before, certainly at Texas Tech, but that was his first taste of this, and he was anticipating it, and he absolutely went out and thrived within it. We were talking last week about how would this compare to Texas Tech versus Texas with the Chris Beard, you know, a distaste of the Texas Tech fan base, and he agreed that this would be even more intense, and yet you could tell, maybe with him more than anybody, he was just absolutely feeding off that energy. Yeah. And if you go back and watch it on film, I mean, he was loving it. And that's, I love that personality. You know, you want that on your team. That's infectious and contagious and spreads to other guys. And so I love seeing him have the time of his life on Saturday. And hopefully that's a sign of more things to come. Not that he's going to be a 20-plus point game guy, but You know, five steals, the turning defense into offense off those steals, those are all things that I think you can count on seeing, you know, on a regular basis, you know, with him getting multiple steals that lead to Kansas runouts and many times him getting the ball right back as the benefactor because of it.
Yeah, I just love him. I think he is the consummate team player, and every team, every good or great team needs a guy like that on your team, and he's certainly that player for KU. Brian Heenan, the voice of Jayhawks, with us each and every Thursday, brought to you by Anderson Insurance Agency. They do farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance. Stop by and see Matt and Becky at 118 North Mill in Beloit, or call them at 738-5701. Okay, so now a matchup against Indiana. Indiana's a team that's certainly talented. They played a pretty tough schedule to start the year. Seems like every time I look, Indiana's playing somebody that's really good. And they come to Allen Fieldhouse. You know, Indiana, I guess it depends how you want to look at it. Some people would say they used to be a blue blood. Some people will say they still are a blue blood. They really haven't done anything significant for a while in regards to the NCAA tournament that I can recall. And that's 11 a.m. start this Saturday. What's your take on the Hoosiers? What do you know about Indiana? And what problems do they pose for the Jayhawks?
Well, to start with the blue blood question, certainly when Coach Knight was there, they were.
Yes.
And because of the drought that you alluded to, I think back to 2002 when they were in the Final Four with us and Maryland and Oklahoma down there. They've had some isolated, you know, rise up moments, Coach Davis and a few others. But honestly, this has not been a sustained dominant program in quite some time. Didn't work out with Tom Crean up there. Many thought he was going to be the answer to get them back to prominence. To me, they absolutely are not in the same tier as Duke, Carolina, Kansas, UCLA. To me, Kentucky obviously is the fifth. To me, those five are where you draw the line. And some would say that UCLA hadn't done enough, you know, in the modern era. But come on, I mean, they've got the most national championships of all time, and they've been much more consistent, whether it was the Ben Howland years or even more recently than what we've seen out of Indiana. So, as far as the blue blood debate goes, I think there's a pretty clear tier that stops with Kansas, Kentucky, Carolina, Duke, UCLA, draw the line. And then in that second tier is where you get into the Michigan States and the Indianas and the Arizonas. And that's how I see it personally. I don't know if you agree with that and how many you put in your second tier. But to me, you know, blue blood means the absolute truest of the elite programs, and they're a shade of blue, but they aren't where Carolina, Kansas, Duke, Kentucky, and UCLA are. You agree with that?
Totally.
Yeah. So that's kind of how I see them. Now, obviously, in our lifetime, they could get back to that, and I think that you know, right now the program clearly is trending in the right direction. They've got a preseason All-American that's going to give us Fitz and Trace Jackson Davis, who's a big guy that doesn't quite have the link that some of the Tennessee bigs did, but he's got tremendous skill, and he's going to be a force to be reckoned with. And, you know, KJ Adams had the field day versus Mizzou, who was a little bit smaller. They overplayed on passing lanes. We just kind of lobbed it over the top and got all those easy dunks and lay-ins. That's not going to be the case against Indiana's size. And they've got other weapons, too, but that's the name you want to file away. He was a third-team All-American last year, preseason first-team All-American by a lot of publications this year. And right now he's averaging 17 points and 8.5 rebounds a game. And so things are going to be a lot tougher in the interior. After that, they've got about four guys that all average between 9 and 11 points per game, Xavier Johnson being their secondary scorer and also their top distributor. But they've got a number of guys that can rise up, but it clearly goes around Jackson Davis. And that's a guy that Coach Self had a chance to coach in the summertime on one of the Team USA, you know, under 20 squad that he had a chance to work with. And so there's a good familiarity there with Jackson Davis, and they'll have a good game plan. But this is where, you know, can KJ play up a little bit in terms of being undersized? Can those Kansas bigs that, you know, have not matured as quickly as some might have hoped, can they turn in one of their better performances? We've been waiting to see Zuby or Ernest emerge, and we've heard in recent days that maybe Zuby is trending up more than Ernest is right now. Doesn't mean it's going to finish that way. And it's kind of been a musical chairs or a carousel, I guess, kind of going around and around we go, where some moments it looks like it's going to be Ernest as the freshman big that emerges. sometimes it looks like it's going to be Zuby. What I can tell you is Zach and Cam are clearly behind those two in terms of, you know, their projectability within this season. And so, you know, as we head into the latter portion of December and get into league play where the rotation quickly starts to shrink, you want to see one of those two bigs, the freshman, emerge along with MJ Rice taking on a larger role. And I think that's realistic, you know, to expect that to happen. But Bobby Pettiford and Joe Yesufu have carved out consistent roles with the first guards off the bench. It'll be one of those bigs and MJ, and that's probably where you'll draw the line in the Bill Self rotation, you know, assuming the freshmen emerge like we think. So, to me, this is a big boy game where, you know, you find out just how you stack up in the interior, an area on this Kansas team that's very much still a work in progress. We loved all the Draymond Green comparisons that were made of KJ after the Missouri game, and Coach Self's been kind of likening him to Draymond for a while now, I guess. But, you know, this is a different kind of matchup where you got to play bigger than your size lists you, and you got to find ways to, you know, make catches, deep catches, difficult as they try to front the post and keep it a tough day for Trace even before the catch, and don't let him eat you alive because he's obviously a very talented guy. I mean, he shoots 65% from the floor, if that gives you an indication of some of the buckets he's usually getting and how close they are to the rim. So Kansas's interior defense is going to be huge on Saturday.
Well, that should be a fun game. Looking forward to it coming up Saturday morning, 11 o'clock. Pregame at 10:30, Indiana ranked 14th, KU 8th, and that'll be at Allen Fieldhouse coming up on Z96.3 The Lake there at 11 a.m. with the tip-off. And going back to the Blue Blood thing, I pulled up the records for Indiana, Brian, and Indiana last year made the NCAA tournament, lost in the first round. They have only made the NCAA tournament one time in the last 6 years. The last time they had a season where they lost less than 12 games was 2016, when they went 27-8. They have not been past the Sweet 16 since they were the national runner-up to Maryland back in 2002. So since in the last 20 years, Indiana has never made it past the Sweet 16. They've only been the Sweet 16 three times in the last 20 years. That's not blue blood status in my book.
Yeah, you know, that's an extended drought.
Yeah.
It is almost unforgivable if you're talking about being the elite of the elite, the cream of the crop, the tip of the top, all that. And so it's not to take anything away from what Coach Knight built there and actually what they had going before Coach Knight, but when you're talking about, you know, modern day, and you look at how those other programs have zoomed past them, mm-hmm. as they keep piling up the Final Fours, keep piling up national championships, all those programs that we listed on our first five have had significant resume builders, you know, as much or more so with Duke and Kansas as any of the five in that stretch, Kentucky too. But yeah, Indiana falls way down the list. And to me, I think the second tier probably had six or seven teams in it, and I still put them in the second tier. I don't know what you call that. If there's blue blood,
right.
What color you put on the second tier.
Yeah.
But that's to me where they belong. And that's not bulletin board material. That's just looking at it realistically.
Well, that's facts. I mean, I've got it right in front of me. And honestly, yeah. I can go back even further, Brian. I can go back to the last time, well, even this during the Bobby Knight era, but 1994. So if you count 1994, you count it, Indiana's been to the Sweet 16 five times, but only one time since 1994 have they made it past the Sweet 16. Only one time in the last 29, almost 30 years have they made it past the Sweet 16, and that was 02 when they made it to the title game. Only one time in almost three decades. Now, come on, man. I don't even know if that is tier two, to be quite honest with you.
Right. Well, definitely not tier two.
No.
Yeah, no, I mean, tier two would include all of the
history.
Dates,
yeah, sure.
But yeah, I mean, you think about in that same stretch you just referenced, Kansas has made the tournament every single year and has won multiple national championships. And in the last 16 years, had you had a bracket in 2020, would have had 10-1 seeds in a 16-year stretch.
Yeah.
And that's who your competition is to be tier one. And so that's where it's just not adding up. But you know, having said that, it's still a tradition-rich program. That's probably the best way to say it.
Brand name.
And we clearly, you know, remember some of the great matchups over the years. None bigger or better than 93 when Jacques
yes.
Vaughn hit the game winner. And we've been working with Jacques' people this week to get a little video message to our fans about that particular day, getting hyped for Indiana on Saturday. So hopefully that'll come together like we're planning. But It's that honestly, to take a walk down memory lane, that's the loudest I've ever heard the field house prior to the T-Rob block versus Mizzou. And some days I still think that was the loudest I'd heard it. But that was December of 93, game winner in overtime. And as a 13-year-old kid, that was my favorite moment I'd ever seen in Allen Fieldhouse.
I'll give you one memory for me for KU Indiana, and that goes back to 1991 when KU went all the way to the national championship game with Mark Randall. Remember that? KU was the 3 seed. Sure. Indiana was the 2. Indiana was the favorite going into that one game, that game in North Carolina, and KU beat them by 18. I remember that one. I was thinking, oh, no, we're not. I remember going to the game going, we're not going to beat Indiana. And then KU absolutely destroyed them and then went on all the way to the national championship game. That's my fondest memory of KU Indiana. So I'm going back a little ways for the young people listening on the show. But, hey, still. 1991.
You know, I realize, Wade, we're entering an age group now where there's so much we have to explain.
Yes.
People that I assume know stuff. We did a series of videos the other day with a new baseball coach, Dan Fitzgerald, who's 45. I'm 42, by the way.
Right.
And we were talking about skill sets of the outfielders and who's got the best arm, who's got the most range. And I said, who can hit the trash can like the Tom Emanski video, from the outfield? You know, the Fred McGriff endorsed,
yes,
you need the instructional video that gets results.
Yes.
It used to run in every commercial break on SportsCenter back in the day.
Yep.
Grainy, 1990s type video of Fred McGriff in like a trucker mesh back cap saying,
yes,
you need the video that gets results. And Fitzgerald laughed, and we were chumming it up, and we end the video, and there's five, I guess they're not millennials. What are they now? Generation Y or
Z or something? I don't remember what it is.
Gen Zs, yeah. There's five Gen Zs behind the camera, and they're looking at me like, I'm from Mars or something. I'm like, what's Tom Emanski?
Yeah.
And I'm like, you haven't seen Tom Emanski? And I pulled up an article that talked about Fred McGriff's recent Hall of Fame committee enshrinement, the Veterans Committee that got him in. And it's one of the bulleted items synonymous with Fred McGriff in addition, yeah, to his 497 home run.
Right.
The Tom Emanski video, baby. So, yeah, we're definitely reaching that age where stuff that, we thought was pretty commonplace knowledge, you might have to explain because we're not past our primes. We're in our primes. I promise you that.
Yeah.
So we're definitely getting up the hill a little bit.
I hear you because I mentioned Bo Jackson a few times to people that younger people, and they don't know who Bo Jackson is. And I'm like, dear Lord. You don't know who Bo Jackson is. It just, I shake my head and go, wow, I am really, really getting old. Oh, man. I thought you were going to say, we don't know. Wait, Tom Emanski. Who's Tom Emanski? And you're like, well, okay, you don't know that one with Fred McGriff. Who's Fred McGriff? You're like, dear Lord, I'm just going to stop, right? I mean, there's just no chance.
You don't know the crime dog? What? Yeah, totally.
Oh, you mean McGruff the crime dog? Who's McGruff the crime dog? I remember that one, too. Oh, my. All right, time for the off-the-wall question before we let you go, my friend. Brian Haney, the voice of the Jayhawks, with us. Mark Johnson was in here, the voice of the Buffaloes, in studio with us on Tuesday. He was on a hunting trip. He's got just a one-of-a-kind voice, no doubt, and he's got those deep vocal cords and pipes. And we had somebody text me and said, man, I want that guy to be the narrator of my life story. So the off-the-wall question for Brian. I remember I've asked you this before from the standpoint of who would play Brian Haney in a movie, right? But this is different. Who would be the narrator? Who would do the play-by-play or the narration of Brian Haney's life? Who would you pick for the voice?
Wow, I love that. Well, Mark is an excellent choice, and we've always said that about the golden throats of the Colorado Buffaloes, Mark Johnson. He's amazing.
Yeah.
But if I picked a voice actor or something like that, obviously James Earl Jones from Our Lifetime is probably the most synonymous with the deep pipes and the golden throats. I think about his role in Field of Dreams. But honestly, like the coolest voice where you're like, man, that guy, he's living life to the fullest every day. And the men want to be him. The women want to be with him. Matthew McConaughey, man. His voice on the Buick commercials, his voice work on all kinds of stuff. I mean, he's next level. So, and the other guy that does a lot of voice work now is Dom Draper, or the actor that played him. What's his
John
name?
Hamm.
John Hamm.
Yeah.
He actually recorded a free agency video voiceover for
Trey Turner. Yeah.
Can you believe that?
Yeah.
Which is kind of wild. But those guys are kind of the number one voice actors. So, it sounds bad for a KU guy to pick a Texas Longhorn, but give me All right, Matthew McConaughey, because I think he'd make my story sound cool.
You know, I like Matthew McConaughey. I love him. My wife loves him as well. And I will say one more thing, though. I would choose John Hamm instead of Matthew McConaughey of the two you picked, because John Hamm's narration of that video helped get Trey Turner over $300 million. So I'm going to go with John Hamm. He is obviously very effective.
Very effective, no doubt.
Hey, man, always a treat talking to you. Good laughs today. Enjoy it as always. We look forward to listening to the call on Saturday between Indiana and KU, and we'll talk to you again next Thursday.
And if you're younger than 25 and didn't get the Tom Emanski reference, Google it. You'll see the back-to-back-to-back AAU national champions and how they learned how to throw a ball in a trash can from 250 feet away.
Come on, young people. Educate yourselves. That's what Brian Haney's trying to tell you.
Have
a good one, man.
Take care.
Take care. Brian Haney, the voice of the Kansas Jayhawks, with us every Thursday, brought to you by Anderson Insurance Agency, the Farm, Home, Auto, Life, and Crop Insurance. Stop by and see Matt and Becky, 118 North Midland Boulevard, or call them at 738-5701.